Well, last week we talked about some things. I talked about awakening to the things of God. I gave you a definition of awakening, arousing from sleep, arousing from inactivity or indifference. And we've been talking a lot about moving from complacency to compassion, being active, not being indifferent, right? And that goes right with what we're talking about with walking in love and showing love to people. We got to get from that place of complacency where we are just complacent with life and where we're at, our station in life, back to compassion, the compassion that Jesus died, the very compassion that sent him to the cross. We're to show that compassion wherever we go. And we've got to move from that complacency, that place of complacency, to compassion. We need to awaken that in ourselves. Awaken a revival of interest in something, such as religion. Or a coming into awareness of the things of God. And I shared a scripture, and I want to reread this. Ephesians 5, verse 14, out of the Amplified. Says, therefore he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Look carefully then, how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily, and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, whether it's 5 minutes, 5 seconds, 5 hours, each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. We need to awaken to these things. Awaken to the things of God. Firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. I believe Jesus knew what the will of the Lord was. Would anybody agree with that statement? He certainly knew what his will was for his life. We mentioned part of that last week. He came to what? Destroy the works of the devil. When Adam bowed his knee, the devil was given access into this earth, and he went about to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to destroy those works of the devil. That's when he came. Certainly he came to restore mankind to right relationship with God. Had not it been for Jesus, us Gentiles would not have a way. That was part of why he came. And he came to provide access to the abundant life. John 10:10. The enemy, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. That abundant life. Amen? And if we call ourselves Christians, which we are, I believe, I hope, everyone in this room calls yourself a Christian, it means you're a follower of Christ. You're a follower of Christ. Then what is this abundant life that we're following after? If Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, if he came to give us that abundant life and we're followers of him, then what is this abundant life we're to be following after? What does it look like? I think Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 2 said, for I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ the Messiah and him crucified. Jesus Christ the Messiah and him crucified. Now how can the Apostle Paul, a writer of approximately two-thirds of the New Testament that is for us, the church, say that? That he knows nothing but Christ crucified. Because everything that we have need of leads us right back to the cross. Everything that you have need of will lead you right back to the cross. If you keep reading down further in 1 Corinthians, it talks about tremendous power, the tremendous power of the cross. And that's what Paul was alluding to. At the cross, we Gentiles were reconciled to God. And we can stand in the blessing of Abraham as his descendants because of the cross. Now, if you get on Ancestry.com or you click on a leaf, you click on enough leaves, you're probably not going to see Abraham down in there somewhere. Okay? We are his spiritual children. He is father of the Jewish nation. But we are spiritual Zion. We are his spiritual children. And because we are his spiritual children, because of the cross and what Jesus did on the cross, we can enjoy the same covenant of blessing as the children of Abraham. What blessing, you ask? What blessing? This is part of the abundant life. So listen up. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to spend a little time here, if I have enough. Genesis 12, verse 1. Out of the Amplified says, "Now in Haran the Lord said to Abram." Now we all know Abram got his name changed to Abraham. Okay, so we are talking about Father Abraham here. He said, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. And make your name famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you. And curse him who curses or uses insolent language towards you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed. And by you, they will bless themselves." The quick summary of that. A great nation. Blessed with abundant increase of favors from God. Famous and distinguished. Bless others. Blessed with prosperity from others. That's part of the abundant life. We have access to all those blessings because of the cross. The power of the cross. Now, theologians, they'll want to focus on the spiritual blessings. Prosperity preachers, they'll want to focus on the material blessings. But can we have both? Can we have both spiritual blessings and material blessings? Did the cross provide for both of those? I believe it did. I believe it did. Genesis 13, verse 1, just a testament. If we are Abraham's spiritual children and we have access to the blessing of Abraham through the cross, then Genesis 13, 1 makes sense. It says, "So Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south country of Judah," the Negev. Verse 2, "Now Abram was extremely rich in livestock and in silver and in gold." Extremely rich. In what? Material things. Now look, I don't consider myself a prosperity preacher. But I darn sure believe in it. And I believe that the Word backs it up. If you keep reading it, I think the Egyptians just like to give their money away. Because he had to leave Egypt, and they blessed him when he left. And then, of course, you know, we know the story of the children of Israel. When they left, man, they just poured all their riches onto him and begged him to get away from them. Now, I don't know how you can confuse that scripture. I don't know how you can confuse it. You know, I just don't. I don't know how people confuse that. It doesn't say that he was extremely rich in spiritual things. extremely rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. And if Abraham's our father by the cross, then we can partake of all the blessings of Abraham. All the blessings. Then as believers, go back to that little list I gave you. As believers, we are a great people. We are a great people. And we name a great name in the name of Jesus. We are blessed with awesome favor from God. Listen, you can take these things for your life. You're a great person. You're blessed with awesome favor from God. You're famous. You ain't got to win American Idol to be famous. You're famous already. Now, you may be a little peculiar, but that's all right. The Word says we're a peculiar people, called out, separated unto God. You're famous. We have tremendous capacity to bless others. You need to start confessing that over your life. I have tremendous capacity to bless others under the covenant of the blessing of Abraham. And in turn, be blessed by them. What does Luke say? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall who? Men give into your bosom. Shall men give into your bosom. So yes, I believe as a born-again believer, I am first and foremost blessed of God with every spiritual blessing. Through the possession of the Holy Ghost. You can look in Ephesians and find that. I'm giving you scripture. This is not my opinion. And as I focus on the things of God and seek kingdom, the kingdom first, then I am blessed with material things. I believe that. Things that apply to here on earth. Things that we need here on earth. And I'll go to one of my favorite passages to give you the scriptures. Matthew chapter 6. Anybody know where I'm going? Well, I'm going to get there. But I'm going to start in 25. Because I love the whole thing. I love it, I love it, I love it. And I love it in the King James, so I'm going to read it from King James. Therefore I say unto you. Listen. There are people in here and people you know that are dealing with a tremendous amount of anxiety in their life for various reasons, all over the board. And there is an answer. There is an answer to anxiety in your life. If you will open up the Word, read it for yourself, declare it over you, make that declaration. Make this declaration right here. Read this aloud. Let your ears hear what your mouth is saying. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, the richest man that has ever lived on the face of the earth, rich in gold and silver and livestock, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, take no thought, cast it down immediately, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That tells me I can have those things if I seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Things that testify to his goodness, not to the greed of man. Things in this earth that testify to his goodness, not to our greed. It's important to differentiate that. In fact, if you back up to verse 19, it talks about that. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. I ought to start not reading out of the King James if I can't read it right. Doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I love how the Amplified breaks mammon down. It says deceitful riches. It doesn't say riches. Deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. When you put more trust in the money or the things, the material things, then you've got it backwards. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God and those things are being added unto you. You're seeking the things, and that's saying that's deceitful riches. That's mammon. And you can't serve that and God. You got to get the order correct. Amen? What are you trusting in? Therefore, the abundant life, I believe, is spiritual and material. Spiritual and material. Saul, testifying of God's great favor in his business, supplying his needs. That couple supplying the needs of this church, not even knowing. Favor.